Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Bingetown TV and our coverage of Jujutsu Kaisen. So this is going to be episodes 17 and 18. 17 was titled Thunderclap Part 2, and then 18 was Right and Wrong. So 17 gives us the conclusion of, I guess, whatever Thunderclap you want to, whatever reason it was called Thunderclap, I guess you could say. It's kind
those
of
cheeks
of... Yeah, there you go. Of Sukuna basically thunderclapping everybody's cheeks. And then Right and Wrong gets us into the aftermath of that and into some more, somehow more unfortunate circumstances. So obviously, we are just going to take them one episode at a time. They're pretty clean cut between the two of them, two separate conversations. We have talked offline, the three of us. And I guess a little bit maybe on the podcast about the kind of animation quality. We've talked about the animation quality for sure on the podcast. We've talked offline about the reasons behind that. And we know that MAPPA as a company has just treated their animators pretty terribly with scheduling and all that kind of stuff. We've seen complaints on the internet from the animators themselves. They were saying that this was like pretty much almost like 30% done. I would say it looks amazing for 30% done, but obviously that's kind of the elephant in the room is like the animation quality on this Sukuna versus, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but Mahoraga fight. But yeah, I think we could just literally talk about the whole episode, literally everything we want.
The elephant in the room being the animation quality is a little bit down. I texted, especially for episode 18, I think that's when people were starting to freak out, like, okay, the quality is going to severely decrease at 18. Like, they barely got 17 out, and now 18 is like coming into question on whether the animation is going to be good or not. I know I'm jumping the gun because we're supposed to be talking about this episode, but 18 at least, yes, it wasn't like great, but it wasn't a drop off for me that took away from what was actually happening in the episode. I thought, regardless, in both episodes, the animation was just enough for me to still enjoy the episodes without having to worry about the animation, you know? That being said, obviously episode 17 was just pure action. Well, yeah. So was 18, but 18 was a little bit more emotional action. So 17 was just incredible. I guess that was like, we'll just get right into it with, I don't even have his name written down, but whatever Kyle said, Mahagoro.
Yeah.
It's just his last resort, I'm guessing, is Megumi's last resort.
Yeah, I think it's his it's his last Shikigami.
Mm-hmm. And how did this one acquire Shikigami again?
So it's his technique a little bit here.
So this one has just never been exercised in the history. Okay. So they have a conversation too here, an interesting conversation it's a flashback, and it's Gojo and Megumi talking. And Gojo explains to him why the Gojo clan and the Zenin clan hate each other. And it was like a fight, you know, however many years ago, thousands, whatever you want to say. And it was someone with the six eyes and the limitless technique like Gojo has. And, you know, the Shikigami sorcerer has the same technique that Megumi has. They fought. And then Megumi in this fight is like, oh, I'm going to summon this like this insane Mahoraga character. Like, this must have been how... like the Zenin guy fought against the Limitless and six eyes character, because like obviously that technique we know is broken.
Right.
Yeah. That Shikigami is pretty fucking cool. Sukuna is an animal and all of it's insane. But I have to say, dude, as a reader, seeing it realized so poorly, it fucking bothered me. It upset me. I mean, it was like scribbles. Like it reminded me of you know, like one O-N-E, how he makes the One Punch Man, and then the other illustrator comes in and the official release is like the nice clean cut panels, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was like that. And don't get me wrong, the story is there. All of it is still so intense and strong as like the content wise. But I am so disappointed in MAPPA. Like, how, as a studio, do you not prioritize the quality and of the product? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this is like one of the hottest animes right now. I mean, it's so hot up there with the biggest names, at least two seasons out, and they're botching it. Like, I expect them to go back and update these, like, and fix them. I mean, they better.
We'll see.
That would be interesting for sure. It's pretty wild that, like, I went and reread the chapters for this, and the fight in the chapters is not very long.
That's what I'm saying. They elaborated.
They went all out to try to make this like an insane fight. And I feel like if they had the time, this could have been one of the greatest JJK episodes ever.
The storyboard elaborates. I mean, they did that with the spoilers, Kaido Luffy fight, right? I mean, the first clash they had. It's just sad to see, and I don't know how bad they got to be treating these people for them not to fucking want to do the work. I mean, it's like, it's crazy, you know. I guess the deadlines are super tight.
They don't have the debt. I saw on Twitter, and I'm trying to pull up their name, and it was an animator tweeting about it basically, and he said that it's a Chansard Vincent, and he said like 2 years ago I said I would never work for MAPPA again, and then like the director of episode 17 like called him and convinced him to come back, and he like shared like, you know, he was doing like watercolor paintings of the scenes and like all this kind of stuff, and he posted like the, I guess you could say, the raw clip of the 45-ish seconds that he animated. It's when Mahiraga like ends up in the pool and like the power station thing like falls on him, and then he blows the pool up, and then Sukuna like does the domain expansion, and it looks sick, and like it's looks awesome. It's just like, I guess they didn't have enough time to actually like polish it into like all of the colors and all that kind of stuff. And it just, I can't imagine how frustrating that would be to work. Like, they're obviously working for weeks, and then the episode gets released, it looks like that, and then you get, you know, people that are like, this is stupid type of stuff. So it just seems like a terrible situation.
It's crazy how like a few years ago MAPPA was like regarded as like one of the best studios, and now that fall from grace has definitely come a little bit quicker, especially with how they've fucked up Attack on Titan too. I mean, that's the big one as well. And
well, actually,
like such a big blemish.
Actually, I see a lot of tweets about how they're still on top, and this, and it's like, how can you be on top and be like
immediately
this?
I don't even know how to pronounce it.
UFO table or UFO table. Yeah, that's Demon Slayer, right?
Yeah, Demon Slayer. They do the Fate Stay series. Yeah, like they are just by far, when I think of like clean animation, yeah, that is like they're what you want to aspire to. But regardless, yeah, I still think the fight was like incredible. I never not get excited seeing Sukuna using his slashing ability. It's just so badass when he's like in the building and he's just like sending out these like shock waves of slashing, and it's just fucking up the Shikigami. It's just like so intense. Like, he is the man. He's so cool. And we're
just laughing the whole time.
We've got to be what we already said, like 15 fingers in. So this is about, don't even want to embarrass myself with the percent, but either way, he's like not even close to full strength still. And it's just, he's like just mollywhopping bitches out here. And
he really wasn't even challenged.
He still hasn't. I don't think has been challenged yet at all. I mean, except for Gojo episode one, but that he only had one finger.
Yeah.
Mahiraga is stronger than Jogo. Great. What do you think?
Oh, I think so.
Jogo?
I
mean,
yes.
Yeah, I would say so.
I would say so too. I mean, I don't think Jogo pushed Sukuna.
Yeah,
he pushed Sukuna to this point.
Yeah, he didn't acknowledge Jogo's strength in the level. I would say that he acknowledged the strength of this thing.
Yeah. I just wonder again if we're gonna see this thing again. I forget, honestly. It's been 2 weeks now since I've seen the episode. Did he do like a finishing blow on it? Did it just kind of disintegrate? Did it disappear?
They don't really show it. They show the wheel disappear. I guess
I'm assuming it dies because don't Megumi's the dog dies, or do this like?
So he says at the start, essentially, or when they're kind of talking about it, it might be in the narration where he locks the blonde haired dude into the ritual with him. So basically, like, they're doing the ritual, and
he's got to break the ritual.
The Shikigami sorcerer has to be the one that exorcises him, or like it's a moot point. It doesn't really matter what happened. It's useless, essentially. So like Sukuna exorcising it doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
It didn't like, he's not like gone forever. He's not like under Sukuna's control. It's not under Megami's control. It's just kind of like a moot point type of thing. At least that's the way I interpreted it.
But also,
I was a little upset when I read the chapters, because in this, they have like the wheel just kind of clatter and turn to black. But in the manga, like Sukuna like walks out of the smoke, like holding the wheel, and it just like looks badass. But that's kind of just a small nitpick. Doesn't really matter.
It was like for the ritual to complete, Megumi was going to pretty much die, is how I understood. And he's like, I need to, in order for me to save Megumi, was for me the only way I'm going to save him right now. So this guy doesn't die, because he has taken a liking to Megumi. And obviously this fucking thing must be a reason why he's taken a liking to him. He said, if I don't stop it, he's going to die, and it's not happening on my watch. So that's why he also saved the blonde haired dude. Right, I'm not misinterpreting. Yeah. This is all true, right?
Yeah, because if the blonde-haired dude died, then the ritual would have ended, and Megumi would have died, like actually died.
Right,
he was dead, but he just wasn't like fully dead.
Right,
with the blonde-haired dude.
No, Megumi was dying.
But at the end, the blonde-haired dude is like, once Sukuna was done with him, then okay, yeah, I should have opened this all up by saying fuck this guy, because he he's the hard opening. Yeah, he's just like, oh, you were just so strong a second ago, but now that you're all beat up, like I can come in here and just like finish you off. And it's like, did you not learn anything from Inami just like 10 minutes ago or whatever? And Megumi's just like crawling, giving the speech of his power. And I still think that's hilarious that they get boosted by just explaining the powers. It's cool.
I like the little runway too that the dogs make. They're all like howling as it gets summoned. I thought that all that looked really cool. His curse technique, the blonde haired guy, we talked about it a little bit. I like it too, because he doesn't know what it is at all.
That was going to be my other comment, is that I'm pretty sure we last left off with his power being explained as even he doesn't know how it fully works. And now it doesn't even matter how it fully works, because he's dead as bricks.
Well, yeah. It's just like luck. And I like the markings on the, cause I'm, if you go back and watch, like the markings under his eyes change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's so cool, the tidbit about the last time the Limitless Technique, like the big battle between Megumi's power and the Limitless Technique hundreds of years ago, whenever it was, and how it was this historic battle, and the only way it ended with Mahoraga being summoned. And I don't remember if they elaborated on the result of the clash, but
I do.
Okay, well, quickly just say what happened, and then I want to continue.
So that's what's interesting, is that the anime does not, but in the manga, he says they both kill each other.
Okay. Yeah, okay, that's why I was a little confused, because I'll be honest, I didn't read that. I forgot in the manga what exactly happened. But anyway, it just puts some respect on Megumi's power and the Zenin clan, like, so much, because pretty much up until now, Gojo and the Gojo clan have been regarded as the strongest, and Limitless is unbeatable. And it's just really interesting that while they both died, I mean, it was something rivaled Limitless.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder why Sukuna is interested in Megumi. And the whole time I'm wondering, like, is Sukuna stronger than Gojo? Like, what do you think, Dave?
Right now?
Yeah, just in general. Oh yeah, full strength.
Full strength.
Gojo does say episode one that he would win.
Well,
obviously he's gonna.
Was
say
that it, against? Did he say if he ate all 20 of his fingers? I thought it was specifically like even at 10, I would easily win, is what he said. Okay, so if it was that, then I was gonna say Gojo anyway. But it's tough, man. It's tough. They're easily just like tiers and tiers, echelons above anybody else. I don't think Toji was the next closest. He's dead. Yeah. And then it does. And then
Ghetto. Well, I guess the pseudo Ghetto.
His power works similar to Megumi's, right? Kind of. Like he summons.
It's cursed spirits instead of Shikigami.
Okay, that's what it is, right?
He collects. He exercises them, and then he consumes them.
Yeah, obviously, Ghetto's main. point is like his intelligence, or the pseudo Geto's his main intelligence. Because obviously, I think if Geto and Gojo were just put in a field one on one, there's no he. It lasts a second.
That's fair.
But we don't know about Geto's good domain or anything.
I think
yet,
Geto would even probably. I'm trying to think of like him versus Toji. I think either way, it's those four for me. Like, it doesn't even come close. I think
I love that Toji makes it in there.
I mean, obviously he does. I think it's, I know, it's yeah.
I need that fucker to come back, bro.
I know.
Again.
I would love that, but there's just no way. Maybe just after JJK is all said and done, we get a Toji.
I want Toto to come back, right? That's
yeah,
his name.
Yeah, Toto. He'll be back. He'll be back. What has he actually been doing this whole time?
They haven't shown
ping pong last, yeah. It's about it. But speaking of like the strongest character, I mean, I feel like obviously you have to add in Maharaga as just like a being of high strength. And it's interesting that Sukuna says, like, if it was the me back then, I would be struggling. And I didn't, when I watched, I was like, I don't know exactly what he means by that. And then I think it's a little bit more explicit in the manga because of the like hand signal that Megumi does with like the two fists on top of each other. And if I'm not mistaken, and I could be because I didn't go back to confirm this, this is just kind of memory for me, when in like season one, when Sukuna first takes over with like the cursed womb thing and he starts to fight Megumi, and Megumi's like beat up, he is about to summon the Maharaga to like do the same type of thing of like, okay, like if you're gonna kill me here, like I'm just gonna kill you too, essentially.
Interesting.
Like by summoning this thing. And so yeah, I think that Sukuna is thinking back to like season one with like only what, one or two fingers. Like if that was this version, like he probably would be obviously faring a lot worse.
And it wasn't
sick.
It in
that's
that moment
what it means.
Wasn't it in that moment too? He was like first was just like whoa to Megumi.
And I think that's also why he takes like an interest in him, I think.
Yeah, too. Yeah, that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
Wow.
Part of it, yeah.
It's great that that's you brought cool. up that scene too, because I actually saw something also on Twitter. So referring to last episode of the fire arrow that Sukuna does. In that fight, too. That cursed womb attempts to do that move, essentially. So basically what they're saying is that finger was in the cursed womb, and that's why the curse, it was a failed attempt at, it wasn't nearly perfected like Sukuna's was, but he does do an upside down like arrow pullback in that episode. And I was like, that is just so cool that they're bringing that back. Wow. Because did we even talk about on the last podcast that each finger is different? Like all 20 of the fingers aren't the same finger. Did we not bring that up?
I don't think.
Oh, well then I'm going to bring that up right now too, then, because I saw a tweet too that showed a paused image of all the fingers being unraveled, and they were all different elements essentially, which I thought was just,
that's interesting,
so cool. Like one has
that even out of the manga.
Oh, if you look it up, it's so cool. Like one of them is like grassy, one of them's like crystal, one's magma.
Oh shit. Okay,
so they're each like different elements, and I'm assuming that the cursed womb from back, you know, it's all tied together. Wait, essentially,
so like by consuming that finger, he now can use that technique.
Consumed it?
What do you mean?
Who consumed it and tried to draw the bow? Like
the cursed womb. Like the cursed womb was the finger, right? Like they kill the cursed womb and they pull the finger out. It had the cursed womb in it. Like they're saying, the people are saying that.
Oh, like in the first episode.
Like they're saying that technique
in the first episode
was embellished into that finger and the cursed womb.
That's interesting.
Had that finger, and that's why he was able to do that technique. But Sukuna obviously does it to a way better degree.
That's awesome. I've literally never heard that in my life. And I could be easily me just probably reading too fast. But
yeah, honestly, unless it was like a fake fan art image, which I don't think it was, because it felt like it was a paused image of the fingers from the episode. They're all different.
I love the idea of that.
Let's pull it up. I'll pull it up.
Yeah. I love the idea.
But the other thing I'll say about this fight as well is I thought it was so funny. It's fucked up, but like the plane that's coming from the sky.
So random.
It was so random, but I mean, it does emphasize, everyone is just fucked. Like I'm thinking, I've seen that plane falling down. I'm just like, how many lives have been killed in just this arc alone?
So many.
Oh my God.
So many. I mean, and that's like a perfect kind of segue into like the end of the episode, which is just Sukuna kind of, he gets Megumi to the principal and their nurse healer, who I just feel so bad that I don't remember what her name is, but
And then he runs away again, and he essentially is like overlooking all of the devastation from his cursed, or from his domain expansion, which literally obliterated everything, because he just keeps using all of the techniques in just like rapid succession so that Mahoraga can't possibly adapt to all of them, because it has the most busted technique ever that it can just adapt to anything, give it enough time. And Yuji just, I guess, kind of regains control, and it's just overlooking all of the devastation. And they made such a point to go to like all the different buildings are all busted up, and they showed so many people dying low key throughout the fights. And it was just like, oh my God, there's just like at least like 100,000 people, it feels like, have died in the last like 25 minutes.
The pain that I felt for Yuji, man. And it sucks that we had to wait a week for the opening of episode 18, because I thought that would have actually paralleled really well with what had just happened in the most recent episode, how he's kind of just wandering Shibuya with all the thoughts of legitimately all of his experiences that we've seen on camera, you know, with his grandfather, his last words, and even old Sukuna words, literally everybody, everyone's talking to him. And it's just his culmination of people are going to die to protect you, people are going to sacrifice themselves, but there are going to be bystanders. It's just, it's so fucked up. And I question the decision to play the song at the end. I really, I mean, like, I get it, I guess, kind of, but I think it would have been a little bit better if it was like not a banger of a song playing in the background. Like, I just, at this point, I've already way attached myself to that song being like just a bop. And
that's so funny.
So
just,
I can't,
like, really take you out of like, yeah, the emotional weight of,
yeah,
of what you were just experiencing.
It took me a little bit out of it. But I will say, though, and kudos to the voice actor too, because I've seen the videos of him legitimately doing that scene. He was actually also on all fours.
Wow.
Basically as if he was being filmed doing that scene. And that's awesome. What kind of, I saw that scene actually, unfortunately, before I saw the end of the scene, but that helped me stay in the emotional mindset of like, I can just picture this guy just on the ground, like doing the same thing Yuji is doing and really bringing out his all. And so kudos to the voice actor. He absolutely crushed it here, I thought. Did you get confirmation, by the way?
Like, I couldn't find it. I couldn't. Yeah. I have to go into
like the actual episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can talk about it off the pod. Maybe we'll come back next episode and we'll either confirm or deny. I just, one of my favorite,
miss
I
the think, whole conversation, the other yeah. way.
Somewhat low key themes of Yuji's character, just like as a main character for the series, of like his kind of drive of like, what's a good way to die? Like, how do I utilize my life in the best way while I'm here? Like, and then the fact that like he is already worrying so much about those things, and then he gets thrust into like the Sukuna power being inside of him, which is like the worst thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause like he's so empathetic and like introspective and all of this kind of stuff, and then he just gets forced to be taken over by this like literally the embodiment of evil, and it just goes on a sprees and rampages. It's just like, it's such an interesting, I guess, as a viewer, selfishly, like, psychological dilemma for him. It's one of my favorite, more underrated parts, because it's easy to fall in love with all the fights and the techniques and stuff, but I love that part of the series for sure.
I'll tell you what, I fucking love Sukuna, bro. He steals every scene.
My only last comment on this, at least episode in particular, is while Sukuna and the Shikigami are fighting, he makes a comment. He says, "You're similar to Yamato no Orochi," which if you know anime, it's that's a reference to like the eight-headed serpent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it's in One Piece, the reference and things like that, yeah. But that's just it. I mean, he makes a comment saying you're similar to Yamato no Orochi, as in like, I guess I took it as he fought Orochi, and he's considering this being as strong as that being. Or is that, did I,
it has to do with the wheel. So there's eight spokes on the wheel, and like the based off of like a Buddhist deity that's like a serpent as well, with like,
they, you gotta kill all eight heads
that represents harmony type of deal.
Hmm.
So I think it has to do with the wheel itself, but also
I don't think there's anything.
I forget the story of
maybe he needs to be defeated multiple times. Kind
of. I forget the story of how Susanoo slayed Orochi. I think regardless, it might have been like all heads cut off at the same time, and so maybe he had to do eight devastating blows at one time. Who knows? But okay, that makes more sense. I just thought he was referencing like an actual being that he fought in the past, but he's just saying.
Yeah,
the idea, the concept even, is of the Orochi, I think.
Yeah, I think I don't know if there being a being is not a thing. I think that the idea of the reference and the lines in this context is just talking about like the wheel and the eight spokes and like how it is a manifestation of his power to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's was the point.
No, I think you're dead on with that. The last comment I have, I thought I had one last. I thought I was on my last one, but I actually have one more. Is I saw some video because you know how like all the girls are like fangirling over Sukuna, and like the counter argument is like, oh, like he's like 16, like he's in Yuji's body, he's like 16, whatever. But like I saw an image someone did of this episode, but Sukuna doesn't have the facial scars or markings on him, and he looks completely different than Yuji. It's not just Yuji with markings, like it's legitimately an entirely different person. It's actually really cool how they draw that out to make it so that yes, he still looks like Yuji, but even it's not at the same time. So I just
he looks like older and more powerful, I bet.
Oh, he legitimately looks like he's like in his late 20s, you know, just wise beyond his years, just that's strong crazy. As shit. Yeah, so
that's a good idea. That's cool. That's a fun little detail. Yeah,
and then of course that fucking blonde haired bitch gets what he deserves and gets perfectly sliced like in half.
Yeah that was good when he's like, oh, like I'm still alive, and then
yeah, his luck had run out. Love that.
All right, so moving into episode 18, talk about somebody's luck running out. I don't even know if you would call it luck, more like their life running out. But we meet up with the legend himself, who Dave correctly predicted was not dead after his interaction with Jogo in episode, what was that, potentially 14?
I didn't expect 15. Him to actually die, though. I was fucked up.
I mean, so we're reunited with Nanami. I think that we can talk about everything up until, like, I guess Yuji and Mahito fighting. I was just everything Nanami centric. I thought they did it beautifully. I thought it's honestly better in the manga. It's the same thing. Like he's like thinking about retirement and he's like thinking about Malaysia and all that kind of stuff.
I thought that was, I would never, like, you think of retiring and he's just like, Malaysia.
Well,
just
in Japan.
I know that's made me laugh. It's a culture shock. Like that. Yeah, like we would have said, Hawaii, like the average American, you know, and they're like, Malaysia. It was funny to me.
Well, they did a good job, I thought, with like the scenes moving back and forth, and like this was a good expounding on what happened in the manga. It's just, it's emotional. It's fucking and the way it goes out is insane. So I just, any comments we want to talk about?
I just didn't think he was gonna die. I thought he was gonna be too important to the story for us to move on from him. So this was like, obviously, at the start of the episode, seeing him like that, I kind of figured he was going to die. But obviously, at the end of last episode, or whatever it was, when he gets burned, I'm just like, okay, he got quick burn. Maybe he survives it. You know, someone protects him and he doesn't take that much damage. But then you see him and it's like, okay, he's definitely done for. And I mean, just what a badass. I mean, Nanami has been an absolutely great character. Just kudos to the anime again for just having such a unique power. His was certainly unique over time, and he goes out fucking swinging, man. Of course, like I wouldn't expect anything less from Nanami. He at the end of the day is still trying to do the mission, even though he's always complaining about overtime and being worked too hard. Like this is his fucking job. He whether or not he will admit it, he likes doing it, and he knows that he has to press on for the younger generation. And he's still out here slaying it.
I like the inner monologue with the that guy.
Yeah, I literally just read the chapters, and I don't remember him having like that visualization.
of the character. But yeah, I thought his ending was great. It was so much better, obviously, than like the pure shock value, I guess, of Jogo taking him out right there. So, Dave, I think your intuition was definitely correct to like believe that he wasn't dead right there.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been some BS. I can't even imagine how much pain he was in.
Oh my God.
No left eyeball, like his whole left side. It would have been crazy if he lived and like to see the character design moving forward.
He's just Two-Face. I mean, he looks like Harvey Dent. Like, he's literally Harvey Dent.
You could have, I think, a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, but they could have. I'm upset Harvey there was nobody around that could have revived him with their technique or something. But, you know, that's
after
too easy.
What Mahito did to him?
No, dude. After he was burned.
I was going to say, because I don't know if there's any coming back to what Mahito did to him.
God, I just.
Bro, that was sad. Actually, Yuji, see man. Him transform like that.
I feel so bad for Yuji. Because, again, like we were just saying, he was going through like all the memories,
he's having all these thoughts he's walking down the hallway,
and the callback, like you guys are saying, to I forget his name, but that was an interesting callback. Kind of it's cool just because it does emphasize their relationship still, and that, you know, Nanami still to this day thinks about him. But Yuji, man,
was cool
just
too when he was like, I can't think that way because like I don't want to put a curse on him, you know,
right.
So like that, like the manifest state, like the mechanics of the world, you know, that's just like interesting to think about.
Dude,
and then he goes,
"Yeah, I pass it on.
You
to
gotta
you,
do
man.
It, bro.
Yeah.
Oh,
we got. Job. Did we get his backstory all the way fully fleshed? Nanami's in the anime.
I mean,
we must have in season one. If I'm honest,
the whole shopping thing where he goes to that one store over and over again. He meets her, kind of finds his purpose in life. He used to be an accountant or whatever." Hated his job because it was either corrupt or it was just boring to him. And then
I'm pretty sure we get it, I think, a lot in the first Mahito fight.
Because he wanted to, we know that like he started as a Jujutsu sorcerer, then he was like,
oh, then he quit.
Then he quit.
Yeah. And that's when he became,
because his classmate in this manifestation was, he was saying like, I came back. Like I could have been having like a normal life, but I came back and
yeah,
this is what happened. Yeah. I chose to do this.
Yeah.
I just thought it was cool. Cause he was always like, his whole power surrounds his, for lack of a better thing, work life balance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How you know what I mean, and it's literally that.
Yeah.
And it's, and at the end of the day, it is revealed that despite his feelings, he knew that he needed to rise above, step up. When he had to step up to the plate, he did.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it cost him his life. But his death is going to serve as a pretty monumental stepping stone for Yuji, Dave.
Oh, I mean,
and that's obviously the point. Yeah. You know, because it's while he was having that crazy, all of those events that Sukuna was responsible for came rushing and flushed his mind. The Nanami death was obviously the icing on the cake, but it was also what snapped him back and realized he needed to fucking get into it with Mahito, who's a little fucking bitch, by the way.
Yeah. I fucking hate Mahito in like a great way. I mean, he's just a villain that I love.
I like his whole demeanor, like his, dude, his like kid attitude, and he's like laughing about murdering people. Like, I don't know.
I like it,
it's
but
funny.
I hate it. Yeah, no, you're right. It makes him a very unique character, but it's just Yuji is feeling, and he's like, what the hell are you, Mahito? And he's like, don't shout at me. And I'm like, I fucking hate you, but like, that is that, it's like that childish lore that you're talking about, that it just like, it does make him just way worse of a villain to me and more of an interesting character, I guess. Cause he is a child still, I guess. He's probably in his teens now in regards to spirits.
I think actually he was the most mature we've seen him so far.
Oh, 100%. And,
he's probably like a late teen, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, to open the fight too, like Yuji's pissed and he's going to run in. And of course he flings the morphed people that are all screaming, save me. And Yuji's helpless and
classic. Absolutely classic.
I mean, I don't blame him. They're still alive. I mean, of course to his knowledge, they're unsalvageable. So you got to do what you got to do. But then he's just, again, he's killing more people. But this time it's not Sukuna killing more people. It's Yuji killing more people.
Yeah.
So complicated.
It seems like,
man,
he does turn a bit of a corner here. Because again, he has like Nanami's words in his head. And he starts, I guess you could say, almost stops giving a fuck a little bit during this fight where he's like punching
the bodies that are thrown at him, the huge worm thing. He just kind of fucks that thing up.
So cool.
I don't think he actually kills any of. I didn't notice him like actually slice something or.
I didn't notice either. I might be saying that, but it's still like a
he's still holding, like yeah.
It's holding him back.
Yeah,
it's holding him back.
He's pushing through it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Like yeah. He's not only does he have to fight Mahito, now he also has to think about, oh, do I want to, you know, punch the shit out of
it's
this.
It's a technicality. Yeah. It's
100%.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is, what did you guys think of the animation versus the previous episode?
Better.
Okay. That's what I thought too.
It was better.
I thought that's what I thought so too.
Yeah. I agree for sure.
I guess 17 also, must have been the one that, yeah, like, really just felt the full flames of this whole, like, you know, protest.
I think I don't know anything about animating and cartooning, but it seems like because the setting of the last episode was in the city, there's a lot of background, there's a lot of destruction.
All action.
You know what I'm saying? This one was more controlled. It's in the subway. I guess it was a little easier for them to animate. I have no idea. Maybe somebody in the comments,
I think
whatever,
it was,
can elaborate on that if they have experience. But
that's, I think, the setting helps. And also I feel like the first 10-ish minutes isn't like a ton of hardcore action like the last episode was.
True. So they have more time.
Yeah, I feel like it might be easier to get that stuff out of the way.
I have been seeing tweets that it does seem like anime studios will cut corners when they can in order to buff the good moments. Yeah. So if they weren't able to cut any corners on the last episode, they just had to put it out basically. We definitely, either way, I'm glad you guys agree, because I thought the same thing too. Because I think Alki was after I watched the episode first. Alki texted me like, how did you feel about the animation? I was like, honestly, I didn't feel a drop off in quality. If anything, it felt better and I didn't notice it, you know.
18 felt fine to me.
If you're talking about this cutting corners detail, that's pretty cool, because remember we were talking about the grasshopper fight and we were talking about how it was like
the ghosting. What is
the ghost thing? Thank you. Well, you know, that's probably one example that they were like, I'm going to do this so that later on I can really show some epic moments.
Yeah, I'm sure it just frees up effort.
I think Mahito is really strong and they're transfigured humans, right? Mm-hmm. When they're in the little form, are they cursed wombs?
No, I think they're still like just transfigured. I think he just like carries like
he has
a
lot of control. Yeah,
he just meant okay. Well, like after seeing Gojo burn down fucking Tokyo, Jogo burn down Tokyo. Like, don't you think that who's stronger is my question?
Right. Like, are you saying like is Yuji at that point where he could have?
It feels like right now Jogo is. That's what I'm saying.
In terms of the cursed spirits.
Yeah. I'm surprised that Mahito is like the villain of the arc.
But again, that probably goes into what you're saying in terms of just Jogo's power is legitimately destruction. Like magma is going to, whereas Mahito's ability is more it's a smaller scale power that it only affects, you know, humans.
And it is a little more, it's more intricate,
but and it's personal. It's Yuji. Pretty much an exact mirror on Yuji's principles, his ideas about how he should live his life. And Mahito flies in the face of literally everything that Yuji wants to be.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's pretty cool that you mentioned. I was about to say, Kyle, on the same other side of that same coin, it also parallels his development. Both of them are kind of new, right? Mahito's a little child, and Yuji's brand new to all of this whole world, and they're both kind of like I can't move my mic out of my mouth. They're coming to a point together. You know, they're reaching the same, they're climbing the mountain on opposite sides, and they're going to reach the top, and then somebody's going to come out on top.
I mean, it's very tropey.
It's pretty cool.
I like that. That's what I kind of liked about My Hero as well. I mean, that was one of the good things about My Hero too, is that, you know, we have our main character and then we have our main villain, who they're two sides of the same coin. They're the same, but they're different. You know, it's just same, but different.
Is that an inside joke from other pods?
That's
the game?
The interview, the movie.
He
gets off the plane. He's like, same, but different.
I was thinking that Mahito would definitely get smoked by Jogo, until, and I'm jumping a little, but until you realize he made a clone of himself, like, that's pretty freaking.
I forgot about that.
That's pretty fucking nuts. Like, that's
are you
really
ever sure we're going to ever be done with this guy? You know, like, Yuji could come out of this fight and just be like, ah, I won. Yeah, and it's like, ah, shit, there's Mahito walking down the street.
Because not only was he able to make a clone, it seems like this one single clone is stronger than all of Naruto's clones.
Yeah, like, I think,
like, in terms of, like, how coherent he is, and his ability to his power, because he's like working, well, he's not working Yuji, but it's like very good fight. He's kind of working him, and it's, I guess you gotta assume 50% of his power.
They haven't talked about if him cloning himself,
it's hard to know
his power.
I feel like it shouldn't,
because his power is just like, again, it's
power,
just
it literally is about manipulating the soul.
Yeah, so how do you dial that back by 50%? You know, that's not really a thing.
Well, he's splitting it, but
I guess. But either way, one thing I also want to say here is just seeing Mahito's powers develop over the courses of all the fights that we've seen has just been such a joy to watch. I mean, going back to when he is getting his ass kicked by Yuji and Nanami, and he's not really being that creative with his powers, to him, you know, becoming a rabbit or whatever the fuck it was in that fight against
he flew
the Mekamaru, bird, the fish, and the squirrel.
Yeah, and then
shit.
Now we're also seeing how, so not only are those a little bit more defensive maybe and evasive, like, we're getting the offensive capabilities here where he can literally turn his hand into a gun that just
that
fires
sick.
Things. Yeah, it's just, he's so cool. And then the moment that for me, I'm realizing now that Yuji has moved up a tier in combat strength, is when him and Mahito just like blow up the worm and they just like walk at it, look at each other. I'm like, okay, Yuji's definitely moved up to a higher tier now. Like, he's not I don't consider him a rookie anymore. Like, this is his, he's a full-fledged jujitsu sorcerer right now.
Yeah, the only thing he's really lacking is battle experience.
Yeah, you know, I think this is going to be, and this will be huge for him.
That's what caught their eye from the beginning. Yeah.
He also, I guess depending on when you want to call it like a weakness or not, he doesn't really have like that killer instinct.
Yuji, yeah. I mean, it goes hand in hand with the killer, with the experience, you know?
That's true. He's good in martial arts. That was one complaint I have about the adaptation from the manga to the anime, is like in the scene where like the worms like reducing the space, I get what they were going for. That's just like not how it happens in the manga. It's just like literally straight up. They're just like, all right, we're fucking throwing hands right now. And I just thought that like that, it like the visuals of it, I like the idea of like the restricting their space so they have no choice but to like clash in that like small hallway. But I don't know. I thought in the manga it looks way cooler, like just in the light, like they were literally just fucking throwing hands without this like extra need to like, you know, darken the whole scenery and all that kind of stuff.
And he has like the blades coming through the walls.
Yeah. Like all that stuff. It was just like, I don't know. Yuji just literally, and they awesome when they describe it too, because they're like narrating what Yuji's thinking. And like the technique he uses with like when he gets low, like the knee drop, the shoulder drop, the hit drop, and then he fucking comes up with the kick. Like, it just looked really cool in the manga. The panels look sick. So I was like,
it was a pretty dope fight in the manga.
Yeah, personally, I was a little disappointed. But then they flip it on the other side of like the elevator shit, and that doesn't happen in the manga. So
I figured that
looks fucking really cool.
It was funny that the elevator opens and Yuji's just like, all right, let me just hop in here. This must be safe. I mean, he works it in his favor, obviously, but I'm like, this has got to be the least safe place for you to possibly be.
Yeah, I think my favorite human transformation we've seen is when he makes that guy into the sword and his head is just like the hill. I thought that was just like, he's like, I mean, he's literally saying to Yuji, like, you're not fucking, you don't have a good enough imagination, baby.
He is so fucked up, man. He is so fucked up.
Like,
but
when did he get so far ahead of Yuji to be able to go inside the body of those two bystanders?
He runs around the corner and Yuji's chasing him.
Well, I guess he could probably shrink himself down to like a fucking ant size.
I was thinking that, but then I'm also thinking that those could have also technically been like already transfigured humans that he re-transfigured to look normal.
Yeah, his power is broken. So
did they elaborate? He can turn him back.
Probably. I mean, if he can shape him to however he wants them to look, why would he not have the ability to shape him back.
I remember a certain like aspect of it was, it's kind of like, you know, elasticity in metal. Like if you bend something too far, like it can return, but it'll be
messed up.
Different. Yeah.
Same, but different.
That actually is,
I think that rings a
that
bell,
actually
right?
Does ring a little bit of,
well,
a bell.
Even if it wasn't,
that would make sense.
Spoken, even if that hasn't been spoken on, I don't know if,
maybe our girl,
it's something that you can infer, I think.
Yeah, our girl can help us out.
Has she been commenting more?
Not recently, but it's,
I mean, every episode. We just haven't dropped an episode in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been,
yeah, where you at?
A couple weeks.
She'll hook it up. She knows. Yeah, the last part for me is just moving on to the quick Nobara stuff. If we want to just leave the UG in the rearview mirror, any final comments on that?
Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's more to come in that fight. So we'll just have to wait and see. And then just Nobara, just very quickly, I guess this is just obviously a setup for, as they say at the end, this is kind of part of Mahito's plan where he's like, all right, I'll use her to kind of crush Yuji's soul, because he knows that Yuji obviously can't. It's very difficult for him to watch people die, even strangers, let alone this person that is close to him. And she balls out a little bit in this scene too. And I love how she says, like, I need to fucking do something in this arc, basically. It's kind of like almost breaking the fourth wall, which I thought was fun.
I am so worried right now. I wouldn't have thought anything of it, but the fact that he's like, I'm going to bring this girl to Yuji to like really show him despair, I'm like,
yeah,
I can see that happening. And I'm so now I'm like completely worried, because Mahito is one that definitely follows through with his promises. Yeah. And
ruined Nami in front of him, and obviously somehow that wasn't enough for him. He's got to bring Nobara into it now.
I'm worried. I'll predict that she doesn't die, but it's not going to be pretty. I don't think what's about to happen.
Some of the best portrayals of like true chaos and evil, I think, in any anime, man. I mean, just like pure menacing attitude and destruction, like
a whimsy at committing
like murder is no big deal. Like Aizen was pretty fucked up, but he wasn't, I don't know, like I could never see Aizen doing this kind of shit.
I hate to keep comparing it to My Hero, but it does remind me of
Shigaraki a little bit.
Yeah, like I always thought Shigaraki was a great villain. It's just like you're saying, like it's just getting a little corny where it's at. But Shigaraki I had always loved as a villain person.
I'm actually very behind in My Hero right now, so I can't talk accurate shit. I'm also
we at least know the arc of Shigaraki, like, yeah, you know him.
True.
I love
he was a good embodiment of evil and like the antithesis of All Might.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm with you.
But this is
Shigaraki's fleshed out. Like Shigaraki is evil, but you find out a lot about him and why he's like this. Like Sukuna, Jogo, fucking Mahito, they just are embodiments of fucking evil.
Yeah, it's in their nature.
It's in their nature. It's like normal to them. It's just so interesting.
Yeah.
Yep. But shout out to Nobara. I thought the opening move at the fight was well done with the sign and the hairpin. And if it was against anyone else, it would have worked. But obviously, Mahito doesn't really have a brain per se.
So
in the same way that normal people do. So
what do we got? 6 left?
Oh, what a question. Yeah.
I think season one was 24. I'm assuming this one's 24. We're at 18.
It's crazy. The ending is going to be insane.
It's been flying by, honestly. I feel like I've been...
Dude, I was just looking at the list. With us started in July.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's been recorded since July.
It's been 18 weeks, and it does not feel like 18 weeks.
That's crazy.
Pretty crazy.
I mean, this is
only
going to
get crazier.
It's like football Sundays, man. It's just like every Thursday I have something to look forward to for at least 24 weeks now. I mean, it's going to suck when it's over, but we'll have something else to replace it with.
We obviously hyped up the Shibuya arc. Do you think it's been expectations?
Yeah, I mean, sure, sometimes like hyping up an arc can take away a little bit from it, but I don't think it was gassed up enough. This arc's been... it's been absolutely fantastic.
Mark Phillips tweeted like a couple weeks ago, he's like, how do they just keep making banger after banger banger? Like, it's literally banger.
The manga's that way too.
The manga's that way. That's why it's like a home run every fucking chapter. And
like this arc ends, and it's like you're thrown right back into another one. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ, I can't even catch my breath.
It's pretty cool in that respect. I struggle with binge reading Well, I don't struggle with the act of it. I struggle that I read through shit so fucking fast that it doesn't retain. Like, I don't retain it unless I'm like in it. Anyway, so okay. I've been enjoying the watching, and the same thing with Attack on Titan. Like, it's just fun to relive things.
Yeah.
Almost like the first time, but not exactly. You know,
dude, where the manga's at right now, I won't say anymore, but
I'm a little behind. I was just about to say,
Christ,
I'm in like five. I'm like five. I'm probably like 10 behind.
It's gonna,
I know what's going
world.
On though. It's fucking crazy. If whenever this gets animated,
yeah,
they better not, they better be given good deadlines. All I can say about it,
go to UFO table.
Yeah. Yeah. They better be treating their animators right when it gets to that. Cause all right. So that's going to do it. Episodes 17 and 18, Thunderclap Part 2, Right and Wrong. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We're going to stick with this two episodes per episode style. That'll be Right and Wrong Part 2, which is episode 19. And then whatever the hell they call episode 20, we'll be covering that one as well. So if you like what you heard, you made it this far. One, we appreciate you. Two, we love you. Three, subscribing if you haven't is the best way to support us for sure. And then just visiting our website, bingetowntv.com, that's going to give you the easiest way to look at everything we've ever done. So we've covered, Jimmy says 100 plus shows. I trust him. It doesn't sound like a real number, but he says it, so I say it. And it's just a little drop-down menu, and it shows you all the shows we've covered. It's literally, it's insane. We're doing right now what Invincible we talked about off pod is in like a little bit of a mid-season break, right?
Yes, won't be returning until 2024, but we'll be there.
So since the last episode, there's no episode. The Thanksgiving episode was the last one. Oh, okay.
And they haven't even given a specific date yet for when it's going to come
back. Okay. We'll be covering the first half of that season. So if you're watching that, go check out those episodes. Murder at the End of the World is on FX, I believe, and it's on a streaming service as well that I don't know off the top of my head. Potentially Hulu. There you go. So if you're watching that, we're covering that. And then Beacon 23 by the genius mind that created Silo, Hugh Howie. And we're covering that show too. That's on Amazon Prime. You can watch that. MGM Plus as well. And yeah, that's what we're working on right now. We got more to come. And if you like what you heard, just stick with us because we're going to keep pumping out content like we have been for the past 3+ years. For the final time of this episode, we are Bingetown TV. And thank you for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.